If you have a copy of God's Word, let me invite you to take it and turn to Jeremiah. Tonight, the chapter is chapter 17. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah. It's a chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible, will you just listen to the Word of God? We'll read and then pray and bring the Word that God has given to us for this meeting. Let me again thank you for coming. We deeply appreciate your presence and trust that God will speak to waiting hearts here tonight. Jeremiah 17, the verse number 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remembered their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I give thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 10, and we'll just engage briefly in prayer before we bring the message, the gospel message tonight. Let's seek the Lord together. Our loving Father, we enter in by faith again to thy presence. We know our need, how vast it is, how great it is. Whenever we consider the natural state of man, we're aware, O God, that it's nothing less than a miracle. It brings a sinner out of their sin and brings them to new life in Jesus Christ. So we pray for the Spirit's help. We cry to thee, O God, that this preacher might know a fresh anointing, fresh energy given. O God, thou dost know our weakness, but we thank thee that whenever we're weak, then he is strong. And Lord, we pray that through us tonight we might know the enabling power of the Spirit of God to preach the everlasting gospel. Grant thy servant a fresh infilling. Bind every wicked and foul spirit. Grant a highway for the preaching of thy word. And grant, O God, by the end of this meeting, men and women would leave their sin and trust alone in the Christ of God. May this day be a day of thy power. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen and amen. Weighing some 320 grams in men and 227 grams in woman, measuring 12 centimeters in length and 9 centimeters in breadth, and beating it some 100,000 times a day. The human heart pumps 7,000 liters of blood through 2,500 kilometers of arteries, veins, and capillaries in the circulatory system of the human body, a distance that is equivalent to the distance between Port Nolan and the city of Rome. Human life depends upon the regular beating of the heart because it is the central organ of the circulatory system. The heart can therefore be regarded as the bearer of life and symbolically represents all vital organs. However, when the Bible speaks and uses the term heart, it's not referring primarily to this beating organ that is within us, but rather it represents the person's essential being. The term heart is used in a number of ways in the scriptures. It's sometimes used to refer to a person's mind or understanding. It can be used to refer to the will. Sometimes it can refer to the affections or the conscience of man. At times it can refer to the whole soul of man. Generally, the heart denotes the whole being of an individual. Whenever a person suffers from some sort of heart condition, often an electrocardiogram or an ECG is used by doctors to assess the electrical and muscular functions of the heart, and the ECG's results can help therefore identify the exact location of the heart's problem. In this gospel meeting tonight, we want to perform a spiritual ECG, assessing the true nature, the true condition of the sinner's heart. You know, I hear people saying, this man, that man that I know, he's got a good heart, or she's got a kind heart, or they've got a loving heart. But tonight I want us to view the human heart as God views the heart. How does God view the heart of an unsaved man or woman? How does God view your heart tonight? You who are unsaved. What does the Bible say about the heart of fallen man? For that's the only evaluation that really matters. For the moments that remain to us, I want to therefore speak on the subject of God's ECG of the human heart. God's ECG of the human heart. In relation to God's ECG of the human heart, I want us to consider in the first place the initial diagnosis. The initial diagnosis. You see, whenever a patient with a heart condition goes into a GP surgery or some accident and emergency department, there are some preliminary questions that are asked, some tests that are performed by the doctor in order to make an initial diagnosis. You see, it's only whenever a correct diagnosis has been made, when the source of the problem is pinpointed, that a course of treatment then can therefore be pursued and the right form of medication can be prescribed by the doctor. In spiritual terms, only whenever a correct diagnosis of man's problem is made, only when that happens can the right treatment be given, and that is often where men and women go wrong. The sinner takes an honest look at their heart. They concede that there's no lasting peace, no joy, no purpose, no contentment, no satisfaction within, and yet they falsely assume that that can be altered by changing their job, by moving to a new house, by immigrating to a new country, by getting a new tattoo, acquiring maybe some new piercing, beginning a new relationship, buying a new car, going to a new holiday destination, trying to buy themselves a new wardrobe of clothes. But the reason why, after doing all those things, they still have no joy, no peace, no contentment, no satisfaction, no purpose in their living is because man, in his diagnosis, has made the wrong diagnosis. You see, sinful man believes that his problem is external. But man's problem is not external. Man's problem is internal. It is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. If only an unsaved man or woman would read the Word of God, take a copy of God's Word, and read God's initial diagnosis of the human heart, they would save themselves from a lot of time. They would save themselves a lot of money. They would save themselves a lot of disappointments. And they would save themselves a lot of heartaches. So then what is God's initial diagnosis of the human heart? As God looks into this meeting, into the hearts of men and women who are outside of Jesus Christ, how does God see your heart tonight? Well, the first book in the Bible is a good place to start. The book of Genesis records for us the commencement of human history. And having yielded to temptation, the human race in Genesis 3 is plunged in to sin by our first parents, Adam and Eve. By the time we reach Genesis chapter 6, just 8 generations have passed since that initial fall in the Garden of Eden. And as God looked into that generation, and as he looked into the human heart, he made this diagnosis in Genesis 6, the verse number 5. It says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then he makes another diagnosis. Just over there in Genesis chapter 8 and the verse 21, he makes a similar diagnosis. It says there, "And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Pristine, unfallen man left and came from God's hand with a heart that was inclined to God, a heart that was inclined to holiness, a heart that was inclined to righteousness. But now, due to the fall and sin's entrance, with utter dismay, the God of heaven now looks into the human heart, and he sees the human heart as the fountainhead of every imaginable evil. From his youth up, from his very first day, he looks into the human heart and he sees nothing but evil, nothing but sin. That evil is evident from the youth up, because man is tainted by sin. Every thought, every desire, every deed is tainted, corrupted by this inherent evil, this sin that we have within our souls, within the human breast. Aye, this is God's diagnosis. Yes, this was God's diagnosis here in Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 6, at the commencement of human history. But can I say, God's diagnosis hasn't changed. Read there in Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me?" Solomon would remark this statement, Ecclesiastes 9 in the verse number 3. "The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead." Think of it, sinner. Tonight in your heart, God says there's madness. There's evil. It's sin. And how evil and how mad sin is. This is how God views your heart tonight. With any sort of illness, people like to self-diagnose. I'm sure you know that. My mother-in-law is a great person to self-diagnose. I'll maybe get in trouble here. Andrea said the only time that she was right whenever she had her appendix and the problem with her appendix, and she had to eventually get it moved and removed. It was the only time that she was ever right, because, you see, she had this medical journal and was able to look at all the different symptoms and then eventually come to a conclusion that was mostly wrong. It was mostly inaccurate. It was unreliable. And I tell you, sinner, as you look into your heart and as you self-diagnose your heart, I tell you, your assessment, your diagnosis is unreliable. It's wrong. Because sinful man will always look at himself as someone that's righteous, someone wherein there is some sort of good. But God says there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now that's God's diagnosis. As you examine yourself, you'll convince yourself there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. But I tell you, there's everything wrong. Sinner, there's everything wrong with you tonight. The question tonight is, whose diagnosis are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your own flawed self-diagnosis? Or are you going to believe the factual diagnosis of God, who knows all things, from whom nothing is hidden, and to whom the words of our text in there in Jeremiah 17 and the verse number 10, the Lord searches the heart. Are you going to believe him? Are you going to be self-diagnosed tonight? Because I tell you, you're going to be wrongly diagnosed if you believe your own sinful heart. Can I say, sinner, tonight, your problem is not your upbringing. Your problem is not your field education. Your problem tonight is not your home circumstances. Your problem tonight is not the dysfunctional family that you have come out of. Your problem tonight is not your environment. Your problem tonight is not the housing estate in which you live. Your problem is a spiritual problem rooted in a sinful heart that only the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, can remedy. And sinner, until you realize that every imagination of your heart is only evil continually, you'll never seek the right treatment, namely the confessing and forsaking of sin that leads ultimately to the forgiveness of your sins. The initial diagnosis. But having considered in general terms the initial diagnosis of the heart, a heart that has been corrupted by sin, like any other doctor, he probes deeper. He goes deeper. He looks at, as it were, the ECG results, and he now dissects them in order to see if he can pinpoint where the problem is. He goes deeper and deeper until the problem is found. And tonight we want to go deeper. And so I want you to consider in the second place not only the initial diagnosis, consider the inherent defects. The inherent defects. The Bible has much to say about the hearts of sinful men and women, boys and girls. It sets forth the inherent defects that spiritually plagues the human heart, thereby leaving the sinner separated from God and separated from the life with it that is in Jesus Christ. We want to highlight a few of those defects. The first is revealed within our text. We see that the human heart, the sinner's heart, first of all, is deceitful. Look what it says in our text, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Did you know that there's something more deceitful than the devil himself? There's something more deceitful than the father of lies, and in whom there abideth no truth. The thing to which I refer to is your unconverted heart. Your unrepentant heart. Your heart is more deceitful than the devil himself. Notice what it says. The heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. In heaven, in earth, and in hell. Above all things, your sinful heart is deceitful above all things. That deceit manifests itself in three realms of relationships. In the first instance, it is deceitful in the realm of the relationship or our relationship with God. With God. The sinner, by the deceitfulness of his heart, will often promise God full allegiance, full surrender to Him when their backs are against the wall, when troubles roll in, when health fails. But as soon as that problem disappears, the sinner quickly forgets the promises and goes back to their sinful way of living. Maybe that's how you have treated God in the past. There you are, rushed into a hospital or some family member, and as you followed that ambulance down the road, what did you do? You promised God. You promised God if God would heal you, heal that individual. You promised Him that you would become a Christian. You promised Him that you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But where are you today? Where are you spiritually, man? Where are you spiritually, woman, in this house? Here you are. You're in your full health. That loved one has been raised from that bed of sickness. Where are you tonight? I tell you where you are. I tell you where you are, sinner. You're as big a sinner as you ever were. You're as big a sinner as you ever were. Because you deceived your own heart. Your heart was deceived. With regard to our relationship with God, the sinner is also deceived by believing. They believe that a smattering of religion, some form of external homage and worship, a partial obedience to God's command is enough to appease a holy and a righteous God. Well, let me dispel your deception tonight. Because external morality, worship, religion, if it does not come from a regenerated heart, let me say that it is deficient to appease a thrice holy God. So don't be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. In the second instance, the heart of the sinner is deceitful in the realm of our relationship with our fellow man. How men and women love to put on a performance before others. They use deceit to conceal that which passes in their own heart and through their own heart, which is not fit for any other individual to see. And how the sinner studies how to cheat fellow man with false appearances, putting on, as it were, a performance, being, as it were, an actor. And how many an individual has been in God's house for many years, and to their fellow congregational member, and to the minister even himself, they all believe that such an individual has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet tonight the root of the matter is not in you. Tonight the seed of faith has not been planted in your soul. And all that you have is an outward performance. And all that you have is an outward morality. Yet, my friend, God needs to do a heart work. Something in the soul. Something of eternal worth. Can I ask you, has such a work been done, man? Has such a work been done, woman? Maybe you're self-deluded. Self-deluded tonight. Maybe you're someone here who comforts yourself with a false peace. You say, preacher, but I have peace. So everything must be well. But is it the peace of God? Is the peace of God ruling in your heart? I tell you, man, I tell you, woman, young person, you may have a false peace tonight. And there you'll go on the merry-go-round of life, and you'll eventually be brought off the merry-go-round, and you'll go to hell. But you thought all was well. But all is not well. Maybe you comfort yourself. Maybe you're proud and you say to yourself, I haven't gone to the excess of sin as others. But listen, if you have never bowed the knee, if Christ has never become Savior and Lord of your life, if you have never surrendered to the claims of the gospel and welcomed Christ into your life, you're a child of hell. You need to be saved. You need to be careful because your heart is deceitful. But there's something else. The heart can be deceitful with regard to our relationship with ourselves. We can deceive ourselves, believe our own lies, self-deluded. I wonder, are you deluded tonight in self? Are you deluded? Believing that all is well with the soul. You need to remember that God can strip away the pretense. He sees into the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God, He sees the heart. Your heart. Yes, the heart is deceitful. Secondly, the heart is depraved. Again, we read that in our text. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Spirit of God does not say that the heart is wicked, but He adds the adjective desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. Within every human heart, there is the ability to murder. There is the ability to do some of the most heinous crimes imaginable. Let me say, when Adolf Hitler's mother held him in her arms, she did not think that her son would eventually become a mass murderer. But within the human heart, the seeds of every sin lie dormant. And it's only God's restraining grace and common grace that keeps you and I from committing the most grievous sins. But the heart is depraved. We simply mean by that that the heart is corrupted by sin. It is utterly unable of itself to choose to turn to Christ and turn to Him in faith in salvation. What we mean by a heart depraved is that heart is corrupted in its entirety by sin. It has brought a man into a position where death reigns within the soul. Sin now penetrates the very core of the sinner's life so that everything is tainted by sin because the heart of man is desperately wicked. Sinner, it is because of your depraved heart that you run to sin, that you love your sin, that you nurture your sin, that you cannot break with your sin. You see, a sinful heart will always be attracted to sin. And so God, as He looks in, the heart is depraved. Thirdly, the heart is defiled. A depraved heart, a heart in which sin resides, is a heart that is defiled. We read in Mark's Gospel, the chapter 7, these words from the verse 21 from Lord Jesus Christ. He was speaking here, verse 20, and He said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Sin not only destroys a man in time, sin not only damns a man in eternity, But sin defiles a man in both time and eternity. And I trust, unsaved person, that you're aware in this house tonight of the grave consequences of possessing a heart that is defiled by sin. If not, I draw your attention to words that we read in Revelation 21 and the verse 27. And there, speaking of heaven, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but that which is written in the Lamb's book of life. Did you get it, sinner? It's speaking of heaven, and it says that there shall be nothing, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. If your heart goes into eternity still defiled by sin, you will not be in heaven. That is the gospel. What you need tonight is the defilement of your sin to be washed away. You need it to be purged, taken away, the defilement of your sin. And only the crimson blood of Jesus Christ can wash such deep-seated defilement your heart. Because the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth, washes us from all sin. Who are those in heaven? We read of them. John asked the question, who are these that are arrayed in white robes? Answer comes back, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those are the citizens of heaven. Now let me ask you, the defilement of sin, has it been washed away? Have your sins been put under the crimson blood of Jesus Christ? Your heart's defiled. Can I say another problem you have? Your heart is distant. Your heart is distant. The depravity of the human heart and the subsequent defilement leads the heart of man to be distant from a holy God. The Savior said, Matthew 15 verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. This is where sin takes the heart of man to a place that is distant from God. And sinner, what a gulf. What a gulf exists between you and God. And can I say that that gulf can only be spanned by a sacrifice of infinite worth that was offered to God by Christ on behalf of sinners at the cross of Calvary. That's the only way that gulf can be spanned. Your heart is far off. But thank God the gulf can be spanned tonight by the blood of Christ. Let me ask you, you who are afar off, will tonight you be made nigh by the blood of Christ? Have you appropriated? Have you taken to be yours by faith the sacrifice of Christ? Tonight, are you in Christ? For no nearer can a man or woman be if they're in Christ, no nearer to God. Let me quickly give you a final inherent defect of the sinner's heart. The sinner's heart is darkened. Romans 1, verse 21, we read of those who, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Darkness descends upon the heart of the sinner who refuses to acknowledge the God of heaven. Such a darkness can only be dispelled by the illumination of the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Has the light of the gospel shone into your soul, man? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? Are you having fellowship one with another? Where darkness reigned, can I ask you, does the sunshine of heaven fill your soul? Thank God the Christian can sing, there is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright, the light of the gospel. These are the defects. God's spiritual ECG reveals to us that the sinner's heart, your heart, is inherently defective. It is a heart of deceit. It is a heart that is depraved. It is a heart that is defiled. It is a heart that is distant. It is a heart that is darkened. Medically speaking, when a person's heart is severely damaged, the only remedy for that person's heart is for that heart to be replaced. A heart transplant. And in spiritual terms, that's how God deals with a sinner who has a defective heart. And so consider with me the imperative transplant that must take place. We have noted the initial diagnosis. We thought about the inherent defects of the human heart. When we come to realize that our hearts are deceitful above all things, well, then we realize that a spiritual heart transplant must take place. That heart transplant is spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 26. The Word of God, He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. It was the Reverend John George Bray who remarked, man is often content with outward reformation, but the Lord goes to the seat of the evil. The heart of man is hard by nature, he said. There may be, and there is in many persons, much kindness towards their fellow creatures, much affection towards their friends and all around them, but the heart is hard towards God. He went on to say how unfeeling it is under the divine dispensations. Warnings and invitations are given. Judgments from God of the most awful nature are pointed out. The dying love of Christ is preached and heard. The sweet and encouraging promises of the gospel are hailed forth. But still these are met with cold indifference or possibly with disdain. Have you such a heart tonight? You disdain the Christ of God? Do you meet with a cold indifference a view of Calvary's middle cross? Have you got a heart that is unmoved by the sight of Christ's dying love at Calvary's middle cross? Have you a heart tonight that is untouched by the appeals of the gospel? Have you a heart tonight that is unimpressed by the blessings promised to the repenting sinner? If so, may God pity you. May God pity you. Such a heart resides within your life tonight. You need a spiritual heart transplant. And thank God, Christ, who is the great physician, is present in this place. He's willing and ready to do such a procedure in the gospel's operating theater. He'll give you a new heart. You may say, preacher, how is such a procedure performed? Well, simply on your turning from sin and trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, the God of heaven, mysteriously yet truly and eternally, will change the spiritual nature of your heart. Where once the old heart was alienated from God, the new heart will be redeemed and will now cleave to God with supreme affection and love. Where once the old heart was sold under sin, the new heart will be redeemed from all sin and iniquity. Where once the old heart was accompanied by worldly mindliness, which is death, the new heart will now be accompanied by spiritual mindedness, which is life and peace. Is that not what you're looking for? A new heart, controlled by a new master, and filled with new desires, will then yield to the great physician of the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is recorded that when Sir Walter Raleigh, when he knelt on the scaffold with his neck on the block, waiting for the axe of the executioner to behead him, the executioner said, "Does your head lie easy, Sir Walter?" To which Walter Raleigh replied, "It matters not, my friend, how my head lies, provided my heart is right." Is your heart right with God tonight? Have your heart's sins been cleansed in the blood of Christ? Does Christ reign on the throne of your heart? Sinner, the heart of the problem, the heart of your problem, is the problem of your heart. It is my prayer then that God will do a heart work tonight. And at this very moment, He'll give you a new heart. A heart cleansed, washed. A heart void of offense toward God and toward your fellow man. Christ can give you that heart. Even here, the 12th of July, 2015, He'll give you a new heart. He'll change your life, make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. Is the heart right? May God bring it to such a place tonight. May you be saved. May you recognize the true condition of your heart if you're out of Christ without a Savior. God bless these considerations. Let's bow in prayer, please. These services always take on a significance at this moment. Decisions are being made. For heaven, for hell. Sinner, come to the Savior tonight. Haste to Him. Run to Him. Pray to Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Cry out from the depths of your soul, "God, save me, I perish." Exercise faith in Him. He will receive you. If we can assist you, please, please make your need known at the door tonight. We'll leave soon for a break. And if in the intervening time, death would take you, I trust that we'll meet you in the land that is fair than day. Make sure of Christ tonight. Our loving Father, we come before Thee. How weak, O God, how weak we are in the proclamation of Thy word. And yet we realize that it's not the vessel. It's the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and applying it effectually to the soul. Lord, do that tonight. Expose the heart. May men and women seek the Savior. May the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide upon those who know Christ and are eagerly anticipating His coming. We pray, Father, that we'll live our lives to the glory of God. Grant, O God, a saving work in hearts tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.